This is Talk of the Nation. I'm John Idsty in Washington. Neil Conan is away. As winter trudges on, now is the time when we all want to get away, to escape the cold and snow and wind, and take off to some exotic, tropical, warm locale. But no matter how much we want to get away, there are those nagging doubts about whether it's safe to go. Terrorist threats, a possible war with Iraq, and growing anti-American sentiment have caused the State Department to declare 34 countries as places where American travelers should use extra caution or just completely avoid. But for some, the desire to travel and for adventure trumps any fear of danger. And for the business traveler, there may be no alternative. Today we look at global travel in troubled times. And later in the program, we mark President's Day with a look at a presidential election that hinged on Florida and shook the country's faith in the electoral process. No, not Bush Gore, but a presidential election more than 100 years earlier. First, let's talk about travel. Have you been overseas lately? Where did you go? How were you treated as an American abroad? Are you planning to go abroad later this year? Are you worried? Are you taking extra precautions? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now on the line from KQED in San Francisco is co-founder and director of Lonely Planet Publications, Maureen Wheeler. Lonely Planet Publications publishes over 650 travel guides for touring throughout the world. Maureen Wheeler, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Are people still traveling, even with the State Department's warnings and the general feeling of danger?
Oh, yes, many people are still traveling. Travel in general has taken a hit since September the 11th and then again after Bali. But it's amazing how quickly it comes back again. Before I left Australia, I was speaking to some travel agents who said that their forward bookings for Bali are nearly back to what they were before the terrorist attack there. So I think that travel is one of those things that, you know, people have short memories. They think, oh, it won't happen to me, or it's, you know, something I really, really want to do, and I'm not going to let the terrorist keep me at home.
Or maybe lightning won't strike twice in the same place, something like that. People will be very careful in places like Bali now.
Well, Bali, I mean, you know, these things happen. I think that it's probably unlikely that it will ever happen again in Bali, and it is probably likely that it's going to happen somewhere else. But I think, you know, this is probably the price we pay for living in the world that we live.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the countries on the list compiled by the U.S. State Department, places to be cautious about or to avoid altogether?
Oh, it's a very long list. Bolivia, Sudan, Colombia, Pakistan, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Macedonia, Iran. Of course, the Middle East at the moment is one of those places that people are staying away. And it may not be. For example, Iran has been receiving more and more and more tourists up until quite recently because it's a fascinating place to go to. The people are very welcoming. And it's not mass tourism, so those people who like to feel that they are getting away from everyone else absolutely love Iran. But just because of the area that it's in, it just doesn't seem to be a particularly safe place to go.
What are the criteria that a country has to meet to get on the State Department's list?
Well, I'm not quite sure what all the criteria are, but even before these terrorist acts, we used to get these lists, and they're circulated by all countries. Australia will have one, and Great Britain will have one. And not all the countries will be the same on each list. Some nationalities are more worried about different places. But generally, it's sometimes it might even be a health scare, like a cholera outbreak. Sometimes it is because there have been unrest, social and political unrest. There are various criteria that come together for the State Departments to decide that isn't a good place for their citizens to go. And you have to remember, it's like everything else. When they compile these lists, they try to be so careful to include absolutely anywhere that might even have a very, very low chance of there being trouble when you get there. But because of the nature of being a State Department, they have to be extra careful.
Have any of your writers been to any of the places on the list lately? If so, what are they reporting?
I'm having a look down here. We've had people in Indonesia. That's also on the list. Mm-hmm. I've had actually very close friends, a woman friend of mine who buys rugs, Oriental rugs. She was in Pakistan just 4 weeks ago. She went there.
And what did she say about the situation?
Well, she said it was very interesting. She said that, you know, people are, the talk, everyone is talking about the possibility of an imminent war. There's people in Pakistan are every bit as anxious and worried and frightened as of the rest of the world, I suppose, as people on this side of the world are. You know, people are much the same everywhere and have the same concerns. They tend to take on board the mass feeling of what's happening in a country, and I think that can just become exacerbated.
But did your friend feel safe or feel threatened?
Yes, Alexandra felt very safe. She was fine. She traveled around. She met various people. Our authors are the same. I mean, most of them, when they travel, there have been occasions we've had to get authors out quickly. There was one time in Indonesia when there were riots happening in Jakarta, and people were being, foreign residents were being told to leave, and we had to get one of our authors out of there. And I can remember we had people in China during the, just during the Tiananmen Square, and we had to sort of find ways to get them out quickly. So we have had experience in the past of having people in countries where the situation has changed or deteriorated remarkably in a short time, and you have to be able to deal with that. But again, I think that, you know, that can happen for all kinds of reasons and has continued to happen over many years. It's not just now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to Hillary in Ithaca, New York. Hillary, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. You have a comment or a question?
A comment, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to the intro of your show and was intrigued. My husband and I are planning a trip to India. My husband's from Kashmir, mm-hmm. and we are. We just had a baby in October, and we were planning to go visit his family and bring the baby. And although we're trying to be brave, we haven't bought our tickets yet.
So, you're a little nervous.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's funny because my husband also hasn't been back to India since we were married. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on that we don't want to be deterred by, you know, the threat of terrorism that's been happening since September 11th or the current conflict that, mm-hmm. that may take place in Iraq.
So, you don't want to be deterred by it, but you feel like you are being deterred by it?
Well, we keep talking about it and saying that we're not, although, like I said, we haven't bought our tickets yet. And I don't think we will be, you know, when it comes down to it, I think that we will go, just because there's so many life changes that have happened that we need to, you know, share with his family, too. Mm-hmm. But for my husband to be nervous about it, it makes me nervous because, like I said, he's from Kashmir and he's kind of used to, you know, the conflicts that are happening.
Right.
You know, he grew up in a region that was very, very war torn.
Mm-hmm.
So, for him to say that he's nervous about traveling makes me nervous.
Maureen Wheeler, any advice for Hillary?
Well, I think possibly one of the things that is increasing the level of anxiety about going back is the fact that you've got a little baby. Because
right.
I remember when I had my children, and I had traveled all over the world. But when you start traveling with a 3-month-old baby, you're
right.
suddenly aware of how vulnerable they are. And of course, you know, being a parent, the last thing you want to do is put your child in a vulnerable situation. At the same time, I really think that another thing that Hillary is saying that I agree with is that you can't allow the terrorists to
right.
change how we lead our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've won on so many levels already, and from my own individual point of view, I would almost refuse to allow them to interfere with the way I'm leading my life, or to stop the family reunion. You know, the chance that you can take your child back to their what's a large part of their family.
Right, and it was interesting too when we after the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001, we were moving from Alaska. And my husband is Kashmiri Muslim and, you know, dark, tall man who kind of sticks out in Juneau, Alaska. And funny enough, we were leaving the airport, and my bag was searched, and he just, like, walked right through, no problem, you know. And our friends had been worried about us traveling back to New York. And so, I mean, it's those small symbols make us not worried. But then, you know, in the big picture, too, there's other issues that keep us from having bought our tickets yet.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Hillary.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thanks. Take care.
Let's go to Bilal in Bellingham, Washington.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you know, I am a Pakistani-American, and so ethnicity is a Pakistani, and I've been living over here in the United States for the last 37 years. I am a retired professor, and that position has allowed me to travel, you know, quite a ways, you know, Russia, Ukraine, you name it, Southeast Asia, Southwestern Asia, and all those countries, including North Africa as well. And recently, we were planning a trip to Spain, and I have reluctantly have to cancel it, you know, because of certain stories which were narrated to me by some Canadians, and I also overheard on Canadian radio that some Canadians were over there in Europe recently, and they were invariably asked a question, are they American? And they said, no, we are Canadian and all those things. And this gentleman, as I heard on the radio, he came back and started, you know, producing T-shirts with a message, I am not an American.
Hmm.
So what I'm saying that in the past, there used to be a distinction made between the by the citizens around the world, particularly in Southwestern Asia, between the state and the civil society. That is, you know, they always said that these are the government policies which are not necessarily good, but American people are really wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
But now I am finding, you know, that it is not terrorist, but the general citizenry is against American policies. So,
and that's, you know, making you nervous about taking a trip. That's making you nervous about taking your trip?
Oh, yes, because mm-hmm. 3 years ago I was in Pakistan, and, you know, part of my family still lives in Pakistan. And I found, you know, among from Pakistanis, you know, that, well, although they in the past, you know, because of the, you know, a distinction which the people over there in the third world, quote-unquote, made between the government and the society at large, that society was invariably considered to be in a positive fashion, whereas the government's policies, U.S. government policies, were seen as, you know, with a critical eye. Now we find, you know, I kind of felt kind of latent resentment
mm-hmm.
from an average citizen, not a terrorist sympathizer. As a matter of fact, they hate, you know, Osama bin Laden and all those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was not, you know, that it's only terrorism. I think there is a pervasive climate of resentment. And even they say, well, we cannot separate anymore the government from the citizenry. It's
thank
the
you very much.
Who
thank,
have placed the government.
Thank you very much, Bilal.
Right.
Maureen Wheeler, do you think there's a considerable amount of anti-American or anti-Western resentment that's grown?
No, I really don't. I've just been in Europe. I was in Spain, Paris, and London over the last few weeks. And, of course, everyone is talking about the war. And there is definitely an anti-war feeling. But I actually found that the people that I was speaking to were making that distinction. They felt very strongly that the American administration may be pushing towards a war. But I think a lot of people have a great deal of affection for Americans, and I do think they're making that distinction. And
could you hold on for just a moment? We have to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're talking about global travel in uncertain times. And we're taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. You can send us an email. The address is totn@npr.org. I'm John Itzty. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm John Itzty in Washington. We're talking about global travel. Our guest is Maureen Wheeler, co-founder of the travel guide company Lonely Planet Publications. You're invited to join the discussion. Have you traveled overseas lately? What was it like? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is TOTN at NPR.org. www.pbs.org. Let's go to John in Minneapolis. Hello, John.
Hi. I recently have been traveling overseas quite a bit. In the past, 40 days, I've been in two places in India and in Tokyo, and I'm going to Europe again Friday. And I found actually the opposite. I found, though there, like your guest has said, there's quite a bit of talk. Everybody wants to talk about it. And I think in a lot of ways they do resent it, and they don't like the fact we're going to war. I hear all the cowboy President Bush things and things such as that. By and large, they seem mostly concerned about how it's going to affect their economies.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, they are very concerned about the oil because they import, if not, I don't know the exact fact, but I think it's all their oil. And so they're concerned about that. And in India, I think they just don't like, they feel that we're a bit arrogant. But I didn't see anybody taking that out on me personally, even though that I said personally I supported in large part what the administration was doing. And we had some heated discussions, but they were all friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, I found probably the most bitter responses to American policies in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
In our quote-unquote closest ally countries like Great Britain and France.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know about France now, but at the time, I didn't.
And people were personally treated you badly personally as a result of it?
No, I wouldn't say I was treated badly ever. But I would say that, you know, when you have heated debates with people and sometimes you can tell it's getting a bit emotional, so
right.
You decide to change the subject, maybe it got like that, whereas in India and Tokyo, it did not. It was always intellectual.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, John.
You're welcome.
Good to talk to you. Maureen Wheeler, any particular precautions that travelers should take if they're going abroad soon? Anything that you would suggest broadly?
Well, I think depending on the country that you're in, I'd be careful about having heated discussions. I think I would stay away from any kind of political demonstrations, although I certainly wanted to watch the one in San Francisco yesterday. But, I think they're very, very common sense things that you should do. Be careful about the people that you're speaking to. Be careful how you carry yourself. Just be aware and alert. And I don't really think that, I think those are the sort of things you should be careful about all the time anyway. There is an extra dimension with terrorism, but it doesn't have to affect how you travel. It affects how you travel. It doesn't have to affect your enjoyment of travel.
Once again, let's invite you to join the discussion. Are you planning a trip overseas? Have you just been on a trip? What was it like? Give us a call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email us at totn@npr.org. And joining us now on the phone from his home in San Rafael, California, is Jim Sanu. He's the president of Geographic Expeditions, a company that specializes in travel to places that people normally don't go. If you want to see the North Pole, experience the sacred festivals of Bhutan, or sail Turkey's turquoise coast, Jim Sanu is the person to get you there. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
With the current climate of danger and terrorist threats, are people traveling these days, especially to the exotic locations that you take people to?
Well, people are continuing to travel, albeit in reduced numbers. There are certainly places around the globe that people are avoiding, and I would say in general, in our particular segment of the travel industry, the places that people are interested in are places like China, Antarctica, Alaska, Bhutan, Vietnam, Burma, Tibet, and also much of Latin America in the international realm.
Mm-hmm. Are there places right now where you will not take people?
Yes. Unfortunately, that is the case. Since 9/11, there are places that where we formerly went to that we just simply won't take travelers anymore. Yemen is on that list. Pakistan as well. Various parts of Central Asia bordering Afghanistan are also, we have some concerns. However, in the same breath, we are taking people to places that one might not necessarily have very high on their list, and places like Iran.
Really?
Yes. Because even though there is a travel warning there, and there has been a travel warning for quite some time, We've been taking groups there since the early 1990s. We were the first American company to go back into Iran. And I would say universally, ever since that time, our groups have been treated very warmly, very courteously, and people do make the distinction between our government and Americans as people.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eve in Cambridge, Massachusetts, has just been to Iran. Hello, Eve.
Yes, hello.
What was your experience like?
Well, I went to a parenting education conference in Iran 3 years ago and to one in Burkina Faso in West Africa last June, and I think people are just fascinated to see real-life Americans. Mm. It's important to keep traveling.
And you didn't feel threatened at all?
Well, in Iran, I was very well cared for, and I wore full hijab, and I was interviewed on television, and I looked just like, I don't know, I guess I looked Irani.
Mm-hmm. You were interviewed on television. Did you speak English or Farsi?
I spoke in French.
In French, I see. And were you traveling alone or with a group?
I was traveling alone. When I arrived, I was met at the airport, as were the other conference attendees, and I was escorted and had a translator with me. I visited a school for deaf girls. That was fascinating.
Hmm.
But it's possible to do it. It's a little scary, but, you know, you meet friends when you travel, when you get out.
Did you take any particular precautions?
When I went to Burkina Faso, there was some medical, you know, there were mm-hmm. inoculations to take.
Did you have any reservations about going to Iran?
Well, yes, but I was invited,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, well, they wanted me to come, and it seemed to be like a good idea at the time. You know, it was before 9/11. I don't think I'd go back to the Mideast real soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to go to Czechoslovakia in June for a conference on family violence prevention.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to a conference, it's different than holiday travel.
Right, right. Well, thanks.
You're attended to.
Right. Thanks very much, Eve.
Indeed. Thanks.
Maureen Wheeler and Jim Sanu, any places that you would recommend right now beyond Iran? I think a lot of people might be a little bit nervous about going there right now, but are there places to go right now that you think are great places to go and very safe? Jim Sanu.
Well, one of the places that's really high on my list that I would go in a second would be Bhutan. It's a little Himalayan kingdom that only about 5,000 travelers go to every year. And it's one of the few places around the globe that, in my opinion, where the culture is really intact, and also just the landscape has not been scarred by deforestation and other intensive uses of agriculture. And it's just one of these special places that, that again, very, very few people go there in any given year,
mm-hmm.
and that's what makes it special.
Maureen Wheeler, where would you advise people to go?
Well, I could also back up the idea of going to Bhutan, except that now they're going to build 6 Aman hotels there. There are plans to build 6 Aman hotels over the next year. So
you better get there in a hurry.
Get there soon. But for me, I think one of the best areas to travel, and there's so many, I think a great trip to do is sort of Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a place where the culture is still very vibrant. Laos in particular is developing, but slowly. People are very friendly. There's so much to see. Angkor Wat is still amazing. Vietnam is a fascinating country, and the people, again, are lovely. These are places, I think there are so many places left to go to and so many places where you would feel very welcome and be amazed and enchanted by what you see. You know, the places that are under threat still leave plenty of places for other people to go to. Of course, my own country, Australia, is particularly beautiful and wild, and there they have the advantage of speaking English.
Let's go to James in Louisville, Kentucky, who's just back from a trip. Hi, James.
Good afternoon.
You're back, just back from somewhere?
Yeah, I just got back from Brazil. I was there for the World Social Forum.
Mm-hmm. And what was the trip like?
Well, the trip was really great. The World Social Forum brought together people from over 100 different countries, and basically we talked about the globalization and anti-liberalism.
Mm-hmm. What was the experience like in Brazil? Did you feel any anti-American sentiment or any specific resentment of you as an American, or was it a peaceful trip?
Actually, I didn't feel any resentment towards me as an American, but there were a number of large, well, there were two large anti-war marches, one where there were over 100,000 people, and there was a definite sentiment of not having America or having the world go to war with Iraq.
All right. Thanks very much, James.
Thank you.
Jim Sanu, when people travel to places that might be experiencing geopolitical problems, what can they do to stay safe, in your view?
Well, one of the ways that we advocate is to actually travel with a group who is monitoring the situation. When you're a solo traveler, it's a little bit more challenging to do so. But if you have a staff that's looking out for you, both here in the United States and also overseas, that helps tremendously because you can monitor things on a real-time basis that it's hard to do as an individual traveler. But that said, I do believe that traveling individually has its rewards, and I would say probably the most important thing that you could do is to respect the culture and the traditions of the country, and that includes a whole variety of things from your behavior to how you dress. The other thing I would recommend is to many of the U.S. embassies in places where there are concerns ask you to register and keep in touch as well.
Did your company have a plan in place in case of some sort of disaster or some attack when you have a party overseas?
Yes, we do. We have an incident command plan that in the event of either a terrorist incident or a medical incident, which is perhaps more common, to get people out of difficult locations. This was certainly the case after 9/11 when we had people all throughout Central Asia. We had three groups just about to go into Pakistan. We had groups all throughout the Middle East, and obviously we had to ensure their safety and evacuate them if the conditions dictated. So the other thing that we had to deal with, of course, was all of their friends and family who knew they were in these places, and they were besieging our office with calls of concern to determine their whereabouts and if they were in a safe location.
Marian Wheeler, as a woman, do you plan travel differently, particularly if you're traveling alone?
Not really. I mean, I think as a woman you become very aware at a young age that you are vulnerable and that you do have to be aware. I mean, I think all women, when they're walking home at night or, you know, driving, are aware of keeping their car door locked. And these are just precautions you'd put in place naturally, at least most women do, I assume. And when you travel, I think the only thing is not to let your guard down. I think what happens when people go to a country and people are very friendly and you know, wanting to know who they are and talking to them, you can think that maybe things are different in this country than they are in your own, that you don't have to be as on guard. I think you have to be more on guard as a woman when you're traveling alone because you are vulnerable, you are far away from all the support. You may misread signs or they may misread your signs. I just think that the usual precautions apply and probably just a little more so.
We have to say you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we want to get one other guest in here. While a lot of the tourism industry is taking a huge economic hit, one specific area is actually booming: RVs. Recreational vehicle sales and rentals are soaring these days as Americans take to the road for their vacations. Joining us on the phone from Gunnison, Colorado, to talk about the popularity of these hotel rooms on wheels is Marty Grantham. She's a customer service representative for Fantasy RV Tours. They specialize in RV caravans to destinations around the world. Marty, how's business these days?
Well, hi. This is John, right?
Yeah.
Hi. Business is good.
Why the interest in RVs right now, do you think?
I think a lot of people are really wanting to travel on the ground and see the land a little bit more than they had been previously. You know, airline travel, while it's still very good and very convenient, It's a different perspective from what people are wanting to see of the United States right now, and the majority of our business is here on this continent.
Mm-hmm. Where are people headed in their RVs?
We take probably more tours into Mexico than any other tour company. We go everywhere from down to Copper Canyon down to, you know, the Land's End in Baja. We also go to Alaska. We go to the Maritimes outside of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We go a little bit of everywhere, but we've really had a very good year this year.
And you do caravans?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I was listening to Maureen talk about ladies who travel by themselves. It's a perfect venue for them because, in fact, I've got a couple of ladies who just went to Alaska with us. They drive their own rigs. They don't have husbands. They go by themselves. And in the caravan setting, you don't have to worry about mechanical problems as much. We have what's called a tail gunner at the end of the line, and our tail gunner never passes the last rig in the line in the caravan. So if you have a mechanical problem, well, you're not going to run into being by yourself with it because the tail gunner is the one who helps you fix that.
Mm-hmm. Normally you think of RVs as something for retired people, but there's a surge in other people's interest as well, I understand.
Who's renting these things? Oh, yes. As the baby boomers mature, they're starting to focus on creating more leisure time lifestyles, and they will add a lot to the RV population. We look to, by 2005, the 45 to 65-year-old demographics in our business will increase by over 15%. That's over 111 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So RV ownership's really expected to climb proportionately.
Well, thanks for joining us, Marty.
Well, thank you.
Marty Grantham is a customer service representative with Fantasy RV Tours. She spoke with us from her office in Gunnison, Colorado. Also, thanks to Maureen Wheeler. She is a co-founder of the travel guide company Lonely Planet Publications. She joined us from member station KQED in San Francisco, California. And thanks also to Jim Sanu. He's president of Geographic Expeditions, a company that specializes in exotic and specialty travel. Coming up next, a President's Day history lesson on fraudulent elections. I'm John Idstey. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.